the Gospel of Luke. We'll be in Luke chapter 7 this morning. Luke chapter 7. Kind of in between sermon series. We were just finished up a sermon series in the Psalms, and then we'll be starting Ephesians on September 7th. So now we'll be just kind of looking here at a story, a passage here from the Gospel of Luke, in Luke chapter 7, verse 36 through 50. Luke chapter 7, starting at verse 36 through verse 50. I'll go ahead and read our passage for us, and we'll go ahead and dive in. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is, and who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Our passage this morning is situated within the Gospel of Luke, where a judgment is being rendered. On one hand, you have Luke showing us these stories here in chapter 7, where a guilty judgment is being made to the Pharisees and the scribes. The Pharisees and scribes were the highly religious people of Jesus' day. They not only followed the written law, but they also followed all the oral and the traditions of the day too. Then on the other hand, you have another group of people like sinners and tax collectors who were hated in Jesus' day. They were the irreligious and the outcasts. Luke, however, paints them as the good guys, or rather the ones who could see God's plan for salvation. So it begs the question, why are the religious being found guilty? Aren't they the ones that see everything clearly? I mean, from the outside, they live very moral lives. They are at church every week, maybe three times a week. It seems like they have it all together. And man, do they know their Bibles. And so then, why aren't the irreligious people the ones that Luke is putting forth as the bad examples in this passage? Have you seen the type of lives they live? Have they even cracked open their Bibles? Have they even been to church? These questions are quickly answered by Luke. The Pharisees were being found guilty because they were not accepting God's way of righteousness. And the irreligious, the sinners and tax collectors, were being found not guilty because they were accepting God's way of righteousness. And that way of righteousness that they accepted was one where people saw their sin for what it was. They turned from it, and accepted the forgiveness of their sin by trusting in God's way of salvation, which was through his Son, Jesus. So our pastors this morning will paint a picture for us of a heart that must be affected to see God's way of salvation. We will see two people who respond to Jesus, and we'll see why the irreligious person, the sinner, like this woman in our story, is responding to Jesus the way that she does. So the point of our passage this morning is this: the love that we display towards Jesus reveals our trust in him that he has truly forgiven us. The love that we display towards Jesus reveals our trust in him that he has truly forgiven us. Three ways we see in our text for us to respond to the forgiveness offered to us by Jesus. First, we love Jesus from the heart. We love Jesus from the heart. Second is a warning. Beware of a blind heart. Beware of a blind heart. And then lastly, receive and live out Jesus' forgiveness. Let's go ahead and look at our first point. Love Jesus from the heart. Let me go ahead and read verse 36 through 38 again. We read, "One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house, and he reclined at table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment." I would like us to draw our attention quickly to three characteristics of this woman's love that we can see from, that is from the heart. First, we see that she is committed. Right? We read that she found out that Jesus was in Simon's house. She did not ponder it. Should I go or should I not go? There was no, maybe I should wait until tomorrow to meet with Jesus when there are no people around. No, there was only full commitment and determination that she would meet with Jesus that day, no matter what. She was committed. Secondly, she was not only committed, but she acted. Right? The woman does not come to Jesus empty-handed. She brings with her an alabaster jar of ointment. This was most likely an expensive jar of perfume. She brings this ointment and stands behind Jesus at his feet. And look at what she does next. Look at the remaining actions she takes. She washes his feet, not with water, but with her tears. She wipes his feet, not with a towel, but with her hair. And she proceeds to kiss them and anoint him with her perfume. When the woman commits to finding Jesus and arrives at the banquet, she does not pause. She does not ask permission. She is not hesitant because of what other people might think. But she goes right in and starts to love and serve Jesus in this way. Lastly, the woman is not only committed, and she does not only act, but she is affectionate towards Jesus. Notice the emotion coming from the woman. She's weeping. Tears are flowing so hard from her face that she is using them to wipe Jesus' feet. And as she's wiping them clean, she kisses them. What we have witnessed from this woman is an exceptional and deep personal love and affection that is directed right at Jesus. This is a kind of love that only flows from a heart that has been affected in a marvelous way. Right, we all display our love differently towards certain people, right? It is our relationship to them that makes our display of love look differently. Right, I'm going to display my love towards my wife differently than I would a stranger on the street. And so it seems that the relationship here between the woman and Jesus looks different than the relationship between Simon and Jesus. You see, this woman's love for Jesus and her devotion to him could only come from a deep heart love. Right? Do you think that this woman would have this kind of commitment towards Jesus if she viewed him merely as her moral example? Yes, Jesus is a moral example for us, but if that's all he is, then how could we ever live up to that example? Right? Think about this woman being known for her sin in the town. She might think, man, look at this guy. Look at Jesus. He's so pure. He's so good. And I'm such a sinner. And I'm not good. Right? It would be nice to follow someone like that. But how could I ever follow someone like that when I am like this? Or do you think this woman would have this much affection towards him if she viewed him merely as a good teacher? Yes, Jesus is our good teacher, but he is not just that. And if this woman heard Jesus teach, she might try to follow his teachings for a little bit, but that would make her just try to live in her own ability to obey, which would not last very long. The radical nature of the woman's actions towards Jesus clearly communicates something of a radical encounter with Jesus. We then must ask ourselves, what about her encounter is making her act like this? And who is this Jesus that she is pouring out her devotion and love to? We will answer this shortly, but first we have to consider another way we can respond to Jesus. Our passage now shifts to Jesus' interaction with Simon the Pharisee and will lead us to our second point, that is to beware of a blind heart. All right, let's read verse 39. We read, "Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner.'" We see in these following verses the stark contrast between the woman and Simon regarding their response to Jesus. Simon, as it appears, was friendly to Jesus at first. Right? When one of the Pharisees were one of Jesus' most active critics of his mission. But Simon invited him into his home for a banquet. We're not exactly sure why Simon does this. Not exactly sure of his motivation. From the context, it might seem unlikely that he is trying to get Jesus to slip up or make a mistake, but rather he might be trying to gain Jesus' approval or acceptance. But this cordial interaction at the banquet quickly turns when the woman enters and starts to break some cultural norms, one being a well-known sinner touching Jesus. Right, Simon says to Jesus, "If you were a prophet, you would have known that she is a sinner." Right, you would have known who she is. You wouldn't let her touch her if you knew who she was. Now, before Simon so flippantly doubts Jesus, he should have been quicker to watch what was happening. He should have been quicker to listen, watch, and learn, rather than be so quick to speak. Earlier in chapter 7, when Jesus was talking to the crowds about the question that the disciples of John the Baptist asked him, which was, "Are you the one that is to come, or should we expect someone else?" And how does Jesus answer? Jesus answers, "Go and report what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor are told the good news. And blessed are those who are not offended by me." If Simon was paying attention to who Jesus was and less on who other people were, he would know that Jesus is fulfilling what the prophet Isaiah says about him. If Jesus could heal the incurable disease of leprosy and raise the dead to life, do you not think that Jesus knew who this woman was and what he was receiving from her? While Simon accepted Jesus as a teacher, the woman accepted him as the one whom Jesus claimed he said he was. While Simon was busy showing off his worldly estate, the woman was showing Jesus her spiritual state. the state in which Jesus cared mostly about, the state for which he has come from heaven to deal with. So here's the first lesson I think we can learn from Simon the Pharisee to warn us against a blind heart. And that's first, beware of a mere outward appearance. Beware of a mere outward appearance. Right? You can still be close to proximity to Jesus and yet still miss him. You can still walk among religious circles with proper etiquette, and yet you can still misunderstand the core of who Christ is and what he has come to do. We like Jesus at our party, but not in our hearts. When we get close to Jesus, he doesn't want to be an accessory to your appearance that everything is good. No, he wants to reveal himself to you. Jesus has something to say to you. And when he speaks, it exposes something that we may not want to hear or see. That you are a sinner. That even though outwardly you may seem like you have it all together, that you follow all the rules and present a respectable religious appearance, the inside of your heart remains unaffected. Don't be content with a tree that looks good on the outside because it can be dead and diseased on the inside. But instead, water the roots of the tree, the roots of your faith that deal with the heart. So let's take heed of Jesus' words in Luke 6:45. A good person produces good out of the good that is stored up in his heart. An evil person produces evil out of what is stored up in his heart. For his mouth speaks from the overflow of his heart. So we should not only be warned of mere outward appearances, but we should also beware of judging others too harshly and judging yourself too lightly. This is our second warning that we can gain from Simon. After Simon gets done doubting Jesus and accusing the woman, Jesus replies to Simon by giving him a parable, by explaining why the woman is doing what she is doing. Look back with me at verses 40 through 46. And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. "Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered. "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment." Take note of the characters in this parable that Jesus says. Right, there's a creditor and two debtors. Jesus gives this parable in the form of a question, right? Which of the two debtors will love the creditor more? Now, the obvious answer to us and Simon is the one who had the most debt. Jesus is giving himself here the role of the creditor and Simon and the woman the role of the two debtors. And the reason why Simon did not treat Jesus the way the woman did is because he did not view himself being in debt. He did not see himself doing anything wrong, or that he owed him any sort of love like the woman did. Right? Was this not just a teacher or a prophet at best, Simon probably thought? Who is Jesus that Simon would lower himself to show such love and affection towards? I love the irony here at the end of verse 43 into verse 44. Jesus declares that Simon has judged correctly of the parable. And after he says this, Jesus turns to the woman and says to Simon, "Do you see this woman?" You see, Simon can render a correct answer to an obvious earthly question, but he cannot judge a spiritual one. He can see the woman, but he cannot truly see her. He can't see her heart. He can't see her motivation for acting this way. This is a heart issue, and only God can see the heart. Simon is judging someone else's heart wrongly before he is judging his own. Because of his self-righteousness, he is blind to the miracle that is happening right before him. Now, Jesus does not mean that we should never call out sin in other people's lives or hold one another accountable. But what Jesus is getting at here is a judgment that lacks love. A judgment exactly like Simon is giving to the woman. One that is okay with calling out other people without wanting to deal with or recognize your own sin. We should not only be careful to judge others before examining ourselves, but we also should dare not call people out on their sin without pointing them to Jesus. When you see someone struggling with sin, are you quick to condemn or are you quick to pray? Are you quick to judge or are you quick to extend grace? Are you quick to gossip or are you quick to point them to that person in Jesus Christ? And like Simon's judgment towards the woman, when we see a brother or sister struggling with sin, we should invite them in with love. We should say to the party guest, clear the way. And we should say to the person, look who's here. It is Jesus waiting for you to come to him. Church, we cannot truly love Jesus from our hearts if we are not first honest with Jesus and others about our own sin. And because we too are sinners, we have a large debt that Jesus has come to pay. We need to be aware of a blind heart that displays itself with outward appearances and lack of bad judgment for our own needs. Now, the mood up until now has been a bit heavy and convicting. But we come now with good news. We have looked at the love of the woman in the beginning that we saw can only come from the heart. And we have just examined some warnings from Simon on ways in which our love for Jesus can be robbed. But we finally come now to the answer. Why does this woman, a sinner, come to Jesus with this type of heart love? This leads us to our final point. Receive and live out Jesus' forgiveness. Let's go ahead and read the remaining of our text, verse 47 through the rest. Jesus says, therefore I tell you, her sins, which they are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This woman can come to Jesus in this manner because she has been forgiven by Jesus. An important note to make clear here is that the woman is not forgiven because of her great love, right? It is not that she loved much, therefore she is forgiven, but she is forgiven, therefore she loved much. Her forgiveness was the cause of her love. Unlike Simon, who felt no need for forgiveness from Jesus, who then in turn loved Jesus little. Now you may be thinking, well, okay, Jesus still says those who are forgiven little loves little, right? So is Simon still forgiven a little bit? Well, that's not the case here. Jesus is using this parable as a literary device to emphasize the great love from the woman. The woman responded to Jesus by what she experienced from him, the one who could forgive all of her sins. Whereas Simon, who thought Jesus was a good teacher and possibly a prophet, responded to Jesus the way he did. So in this woman, we have a great sinner who knows she is a great sinner, whose sins do not get glanced over, but one who knows that she has a great Savior to place her sin upon. And she is totally and utterly forgiven. How could this not elicit such an extraordinary love towards Christ. There are two phrases in verse 47 and 48 that I would like to turn our attention to. And in verse 47, Jesus says to the woman, her many sins have been forgiven. And in verse 48, Jesus turns from Simon and now turns to the woman and says, your sins are forgiven. So what does Jesus say that she is forgiven twice? Well, one has already taken place and one is currently true. These two phrases have profound impact on the Christian life as we approach Jesus in love. I want us to first look at verse 47 and then come back to verse 48. We see that we can come to Jesus because we are forgiven. Right? Jesus is answering Simon as to why he is letting the woman love him in this way. Her love flows from her forgiveness that she already felt even before she came to Jesus. The woman here has most likely seen his miracles, heard Jesus preach the message of forgiveness that's found in him. Her eyes and her heart were open to Christ, to who he was. Her sin, which she and others knew was great, could now be met with someone who could provide a way to cover her sins, a way for her to be free. She accepted that. She accepted Jesus and his message, and her heart was immediately overcome with gratitude and love for Christ. And that's why she must go to him. That's why she must see him and serve him with everything that she has. Because Jesus gave everything he had for her. But Simon defines her and names her by her sin, right? We don't get the name of the woman. We just get the name of her sin, which was the reason why she should not touch Jesus and come to him, as Simon says. This is the same tactic that the devil uses to accuse us. And one of the reasons why we are hesitant to come to Jesus with our need and our sin. Right? We hear the enemy's false claims against us as we try to draw near to him. We hear him say, you really messed up this time. Is God really going to forgive you? Oh, fear not, Christian. For you can come cast your burdens down on him again and again and again. Jesus speaks to the enemy on your behalf saying, she can still come to me, or he can still come to me because of their trust in me. You do not have a hold on them, Jesus says to Satan. Come to your Savior. Come to him with full assurance, knowing that he has forgiven you of all your sin. He wants all of you, all of your sin, all of your shame, all of your guilt, because he is a great and mighty Savior. Some of you may be like the woman, right, who have many sins. But unlike her, you are afraid of coming to Jesus because you do not think he will accept what all you have done, right? So you stand away. But let me tell you that Jesus does not accept you based on what you have done or are doing. He accepts you based on what he has done for you. I want you to know that there is not a more compassionate Savior like Jesus. There is not a more loving Savior than our Jesus. Jesus is a big Savior. He is a big Savior who can and has handled your sin. So come to him. I want to send us out by calling us now to live in our forgiveness. The declarative statement of the woman's forgiveness of sins in verse 48 is a launching pad for allowing her to go in peace. Or can you imagine the woman, right? The whole town knowing her, knowing the whole town, knowing her as the sinner, knowing that would do to a person, always make you look over your shoulder, but always make you ashamed. But she heard the word of Christ, not only that she is forgiven, but that she can now go in peace. To go in peace is to live freely in Christ Jesus. You are now truly made alive in him. You are given a new heart. And from this new heart, you are given new commitments, new actions, new affections, ones like Christ. As loving Jesus with a forgiven heart will allow you now to love Jesus and love others like Jesus. Jesus says that if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And we obey now not out of obligation, but out of gratitude. Jesus is teaching us not only about how forgiveness sparks love to him, but how forgiveness sparks love for others. And when we realize that we have been saved by grace, right, it levels the playing field for us all. We are all forgiven the same way. Right, the drug addict is saved the same way as the successful professional. The CEO is the same way, saved the same way as the stay-at-home mom. The college student is saved the same way as the elderly. The outcast is saved the same way as the tenured pastor. Because we are all saved the same way. Because we are all sinners in need of grace. You can serve and love others just as Christ came to serve you, who died for you and gave his own life to free you of the bondage of sin, who has welcomed you with his arms and now releases you and says, go in peace. If you have had your heart affected by the love of Christ, your heart now has been opened to him, right? And you want others to experience the same. Unlike the Pharisee who saw only who and what people were, your heart can now see what people need. You can welcome people into your life and introduce them to the one who can forgive. You can introduce them to the only way your sins can be forgiven and where you can experience total and complete love. Since our ultimate love and identity is rooted in Christ, you are free to welcome others and give yourself to others, just as Christ gave himself for you. So let us not waste our love on things that do not matter, on things of this world, but let us lavish our love on people who need Jesus' love and forgiveness by loving Jesus from the heart, being aware of a blind heart, and living out our forgiveness to point others to Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our text this evening, or this morning. Lord, we're thankful for the story of this woman, that we get to see such a sinner like her can come and be affected in such a way that transforms her life. Lord, I pray that as we see our text this morning, that we would see our own need for Christ. How we too were in debt, great debt. How we need the love of Christ, his death and resurrection. And Lord, I pray that we would know that deep within us. And then that we would not only know it, but that we would live that out. That we would live it out by loving Christ from our heart and loving others the same way. Oh Lord, help us to trust in the forgiveness that Jesus offers to us. And Lord, release us to go in peace. And we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.